Would you bow your heads with me? Take my lips and speak through them. Take our thoughts and think through them. Take our hearts and set them on fire with love for you. Unless you speak, nothing of significance will be spoken. Bring us your word, Lord Jesus. Amen. We, for the last 2 weeks, have been looking at worldview. In other words, the biggest pair of lenses that you and I will ever wear, but the same lenses that we hardly ever notice. Just like a fish never notices the fact that it's seeing the world through water, you and I, unless we name it and talk about it, never realize the lenses by which we see our world. Not just how we see the world, but the lenses through which we see the world. And I love Jesus because long before the term worldview ever came up, he said this in his Sermon on the Mount, "The eye is the lamp of the body." What does a lamp do? It sheds light. The eye is the lamp of the body. If your eyes are good, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eyes are bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. If then the light within you is darkness, how great is that darkness? What your worldview is sheds light or darkness that impacts all of the rest of you. And yet we never remember that we're looking through our lens of worldview. We're talking about how global the blue marble is on which we live. And that we don't always think like Christians. Sometimes we think like Americans. Did you know if the whole world were a village of 100 people, a global village, there would be approximately 33 Christians, 22 Muslims, 14 Hindus, 12 non-religious folks who believe in a God, but not specific, 7 Buddhists, 6 primal animists, 6 Chinese traditionalists, that's the ancestor worship, and out of 100, there would be 0 Jews. There would be 1/5 of one person, which I don't know what that would look like in a village of 100 people. Did you know that out of these 100 people, 12 of them would speak Chinese? Only 6 of the 100 would speak English. Another 6 would speak Spanish, and then it goes from there to Portuguese and many other languages. 62 would speak individual languages separate from those. There are 3 major world religions, do you realize, that come from the book of Genesis: Judaism, Christianity, and Islam. And I want to look today, in terms of our worldview, at a little more understanding about Islam and how that interacts with our Christian worldview. Listen to Genesis chapter 21, or if you brought your Bibles. This is where the split happens. God heard Abraham's son, Ishmael. Now, Abraham had one other son. What was his name? Isaac, right, who became the father of Jacob, who became the father of the 12 tribes of Israel. This is his other son. God heard Abraham's son, Ishmael, crying, and the angel of God called to Hagar from heaven and said to her, "What is the matter, Hagar? Do not be afraid. God has heard Ishmael crying as he lies there. Lift the boy up and take him by the hand, for I will make him into a great nation." God was with the boy as he grew up. He lived in the desert and became an archer. That is where the Arab tribes trace their ancestry to. Of all the worldviews that we're looking at, Islam may be the most important for Christians to learn about next to our own, because we seem to be on this collision course with the Islamic world in ways we simply don't understand. We've equated terrorism with Islam as a whole, when the truth is there's a lot of Muslims that are scared by the radical terrorists as well. Islam began with one man, Muhammad. Let's look a little bit at his story. He was born in 570 AD in Mecca, which would be in today's Saudi Arabia. Growing up, he lost most of his family. It was very tragic. He ended up being raised by his uncle. And now Mecca was the center of commerce. And it was also a center of bizarre and sickening pagan worldview and pagan worship. But in the middle of all of this pagan worship, there were two smaller groups of people who did not worship that way. And Muhammad was drawn to them. The Jews and the Christians. For them, there was no other God, only the one God, which in Arabic, the name of the one God is Allah. Just like we say Dios in Spanish. Gloria a Dios. Muhammad became a man of deep spirituality, and he married, and he had six children, and once more tragedy struck. His two boys died in infancy, which deepened Muhammad's longing for spiritual truth. Muhammad came to believe there was only one true God, and he became deeply troubled by the Mecca temple mystery cult worship scene. And so he retreated to a cave on a mountainside to pray. And there he had visions that he believed Gabriel the angel gave him. Muhammad would emerge from these dreams and speak to the people of Mecca. About the time he was 40 years old, he lost his wife. And the leaders in Mecca wanted to kill him because his teaching was a huge threat to the idol worship establishment. At this time, the city of Medina offered Muhammad the chance to come and to rule them. That was in 622 AD. From this time, Muhammad became a political ruler, a judge, and an army leader. He also had visions that were not so much theological, but how to order society and how to lead an army. Thus, they battled and won back over to Mecca, and consequently, the Arabian Peninsula became Islam. 3 years later, in the year 632, Muhammad died. He was 63 years old. Now, some of his followers said the new leader of Islam should be Muhammad's son. And others said that the tribal council should vote on who the new leader should be. And this is the beginning of the Shiites, who say it should be father-to-son rule, versus the Sunnis, which is tribal council decides who the leader should be. Now today, 10% of Muslims are Shiite and 85% are Sunni. Now it's a really strange and ugly time because ISIS is such an ugly mark on the world global scene. ISIS is largely being raised up in the Sunni areas. And the ISIS vision of the world is extreme. Now, within any party, you have a variety of views. You have liberal Muslims. You have moderate Muslims. You have conservative Muslims. You have fundamentalist Muslims. And you have extremist Muslims. It goes the same with other world views. Even reading the Quran in very literal ways doesn't make you an extremist, it would make you a fundamentalist. But if you say, if you don't agree with me, I'm going to call you evil and you may not have the right to live if you don't agree with me, is extremist. Extremists believe in the elimination of others. That's the power of worldview. And it's being played in our global news today. Following Muhammad's death, his followers collected all the sayings from his prophetic visions. This is what we know as the Quran. Now, the basic worldview within the Quran includes the first five pillars or the five lenses of Islam. The first one is belief. The basic belief of someone who is of the Muslim faith is there is no God but Allah. And Muhammad is his prophet. If you confess this and you mean it, you've become a Muslim. Allah is in complete control for good or for ill. Thus, a Muslim can be left with very much with a sense of fatalism, because there is no interacting with Allah. And the fatalism is called kismet. So, the first pillar is belief. The second one is prayer. 5 times a day, facing Mecca, all the way to the floor, spread throughout the day, is kept as a reminder of keeping the path. I hope that there are no Muslims who outpray me. If a Muslim can pray 5 times a day and mean it, why can't we, as Christ followers, pray 5 times a day to God as well? Prayer is the second pillar. The third pillar is fasting once a year during Ramadan from dawn till dusk to commemorate Abraham and to commemorate Ishmael. And then fourth is charity. They believe in purity of wealth, and it's usually about 2.5% that goes to the poor and the needy. And then fifth is the pilgrimage. Once in their lifetime, Muslims are to make the Hajj, the pilgrimage to Mecca. Those of us as Christians who have been to the Holy Land have a sense of some of what that feels like. I think it's a good thing for us to see that. Now, before describing more worldview differences, some of which you've seen in the pillars, I want to highlight in several ways in which we agree deeply. One God, resurrection from the dead, forgiveness, prayer, helping those in need, turning away from idols. We can all agree on these. The name Muslim means submission to God. And if that doesn't describe our goals in life as Christ followers, I'm not sure what does. That we would submit our will, thy will be done. We pray every time we pray. And prayer throughout the day, we all need that. Imagine what could get fixed if our worldview included the hunger for prayer in our lives. But we also have some different lenses by which we view the world and different world views. First, submission to Allah. Now, Christians believe this as well in terms of submission to God. But while Muslims consider themselves slaves of Allah, Jesus himself said in John 15:15, I no longer call you servants, because a servant doesn't know his master's business. Instead, I have called you friends. For everything I learned from my Father, I have made known to you. Do you see the implications of the differences? And if you do, how is that friendship going in your life? Are you giving any time to your friendship with God? Are you reflecting that friendship in how you serve others? We have a number of opportunities this September of how we can serve God by serving others. Secondly, in the Muslim worldview, the Quran contains literally the very words of God spoken by Gabriel to Muhammad. And the Quran can never be translated from 6th century Arabic language and culture. In Mohammedan Muslim thinking, why would we write anything else? We have the words of God. There are more books being written in the past year in Hungarian than there are in all Arabic because of this kind of thinking. Now hear this. The Quran is to Islam what Jesus is to Christianity, the Word of God, definitive and final. Here is also where our worldviews differ. As Christ followers, we believe God's Word took human form, speaking to us in our own heart language. So Islam indicates a very specific culture that looks very similar to 6th century Middle Eastern culture and how people interact with each other. Well, Christianity can come in any language, to any language, and to any culture, which in contrast might seem a bit loosey-goosey to the Muslim worldview. Now, you would recognize a lot of the stories that are contained in the Quran and the names and the people, but they don't really all match up. For example, our worldview of the Trinity in the face of one God, Allah, again, seems sloppy to Muslims. It seems quite presumptive to Muslims. But in our worldview, the relational nature of God spills over as love and unmerited grace. When we looked at the Apostles' Creed, we'd say, we believe in God the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. Without that word Father, someone from the Islamic faith could say the same thing. We believe in God Almighty, maker of heaven and earth. But the power of words, the power of worldview, means we see God as Father, as relating to us in a special way. Now, the Bible and the Quran diverge in other ways as well. The Quran teaches that Jesus was great, that he was born of a virgin, but that he was not crucified. That would be too shameful for the Islamic worldview. So in the Quran, it talks about how Jesus was taken directly to heaven while another man was crucified in his place. And this is very different from our eyewitness accounts that describe it. Muhammad rejected the idea that Jesus came to die for the sins of the world. That has huge worldview implications. Look at how this worldview plays out. Do you remember the Muhammad cartoons? The outcry and the violence toward the Danish cartoons of Muhammad. Because Muhammad's work is based on being honored, while Christ's work is based on the opposite, being insulted. The Bible itself describes the mocking of Jesus, first in the Psalms and in the prophet Isaiah, and then in the actual accounts. Matthew puts it this way: they stripped him and put a scarlet robe on him, and twisting together a crown of thorns, they put it on his head. And kneeling before him, they mocked him, saying, "Hail, King of the Jews," and they spit on him. That's in our Holy Scripture. From a worldview standpoint, hear me now. Jesus and his followers were and still are willing to pay whatever price it took that we would not only hear the message, but that we would experience salvation, whatever it took for us to know of the love of God. A religion with no insulted Savior will not endure insults to win people. Thus, the controversy over the cartoons. Jesus himself was willing to pay any price to prove to us the love of God, even letting us kill him and shame him. And Jesus commanded his followers to love their enemies, to turn the other cheek, and to take up their cross. Why the rapid spread of Islam? Well, it's appealing to men, especially holding fast to external guidelines. But because Christianity is based on relationship, Christianity is much more messy. And it doesn't work the same way. I wish there were 16 check marks that all of us could have so that I, the word for pastor means shepherd. We're shepherds. I wish there were 16 check marks so I could say, oh, Carol Glover, check, 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 check. Sorry, Carol. That was the first name that came to me. And I would know Carol is okay with God. And I wouldn't have to worry about Carol. Not that I do. Only in the right ways. It's a lot like a marriage. It's the old, honey, what's wrong? That's just it. If you don't know, I'm not going to tell you. Women, you do understand that you have to spell S-P-E-L-L. You have to spell it out for us to get it. I know that's exactly what Lee hates. I know that she thinks, seriously, he doesn't know me by now and what I like and what I don't like and what he should get me for my birthday or for Christmas. Because after all these years of relationship, I should know what she would like. And when I can't come up with it, on those rare occasions, it calls the relationship itself into question. The Christian worldview is not all about what a person has to do, but it's all about what God has done for us and what God does in us and what God does for us and through us. And we live that out in relationship. And we see from a changed heart that no longer wants to be entrapped in sin, that no longer wants the main focus of my life to be me, but to be God and to be the people around me. That's why our mission statement is love God, love people, and serve the world for Jesus Christ. We see from a changed heart that no longer wants to be entrapped in sin, but wants to love and to serve others, no matter what faith they come from. Do you see your worldview in this? Or is this opening your eyes to the Christian worldview? Are you running toward that kind of holiness? Are you running toward that kind of holiness? A lot of people think the Christian worldview is like, well, they're against this and that and this and that and this and that. Just stay away from sin. Stay away from the sin. Ladies and gentlemen, just keep moving. Stay away from the sin. But what if the Christian worldview is calling us to holiness because it's so darn good that we want to love and serve the way Jesus did? That we're even willing to suffer the way Jesus did? Are you and I running toward that kind of holiness? Let that be our worldview. Now, some people attack Muhammad as a lunatic. Some Christian people attack Muhammad as a lunatic. That is not the way to talk about someone else's prophet. And it sure doesn't help Muslims hear the good news of Jesus Christ and the love rather than the anger of God. Muhammad was earnestly seeking the God that he was longing to experience in his life. But he did not hear of the suffering servant love of Jesus that did so. The question for you and me today, the question for you and me this week, is how will we share this? By arguing? By reacting fearfully? By treating people as second-class citizens? By judging people without getting to know them? By avoiding them? No. We'll never help Muslims understand the significance of their lives in Jesus Christ if we cannot first let them see his love in us. Our message as Christ followers is to actually be Christ followers. Our message as Christians is to actually be Christians. That is the best thing that we can do right here, right now, to stand up against the fear, to stand up against ISIS. To disprove what they think about the sloppy, licentious Western world. So this week, church, let's you and I go out of our way to connect with our Muslim neighbors. If you're paying at the gas station, the one near Country Market, go inside and say hello and smile. Ask the man there how his day is going. Go out of our way to connect with our Muslim neighbors. They'll all see it. Let's go out of our way to connect with any neighbors, whoever they are. Have them over for coffee. Walk by their house. Just stop in and say, I know this is weird, but I haven't seen you in a while. How's your life? They'll all see it. The love of God that is in you. And you think that won't make a difference in the world? Let that be our world view. Let us pray. Almighty God, we ask your forgiveness for fear, for fear-mongering, for hate-mongering, for indifference, for not going out of our way, which is what you did to reach us, whether it was through a loved one, whether it was through a message that we heard. That message is ultimately, Lord, that you left heaven to come to earth, to show us the way to live and to die in our place that our sins might be forgiven. God, be with us and bless us as we come to know you more. Lord, we lift up our global village to you. And we ask, God, that you would enable the faith, the hope, and the love of Jesus Christ to pervade our village. Lord, we seek to reach out to people, not because of who their God is, but because of who ours is, shown to us by the great love of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, Son of Man, the gift of the Father's unfailing grace. Lord, may we never fail on grace again. Lord, help us to see the way that you see, that it would illuminate our entire life. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.